17 minutes past 10 o'clock on a Thursday morning, and I promised you a conversation with Mark Fraser-Grant, who is a leadership coach, an executive facilitator, co-founder of iTransform, known for his expertise in conscious leadership, high-performance collaboration, and transformational coaching. I'm already intimidated. I don't know what any of this is, but Mark is in the house. And he looks fairly normal, so how's it?
How's it, Dave? And thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Welcome to the show, mate.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Okay. I'll put it in simple terms. So I work with people and teams and support them to actually arrive at a better place. And it can be, for example, I think sports analogy is easy. So I'm working with DHS first rugby team and the first hockey team. And Peter, the coach of the rugby team, he pulled me in when he joined, and they were 66th. In the top 200, they list all the top schools.
Yeah, they were
such
rubbish.
A rugby net. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so after about 3 years of working with them, they're in the top 10. So that's a very measurable kind of difference.
That's extraordinary. To what do they attribute that? Your coaching. Okay.
Well, it's not just me, it's the whole ecosystem. But where I added value was the communication between the coaches and the boys and the relationship between the boys with one another. I mean, we're in a complex country. Yeah. You've got guys who've been snipped, right? They go on a journey, and so they've arrived in manhood, and then someone hasn't been snipped now. He's the captain. So the guy who hasn't been snipped is seen as lesser than the man of the guy who has been snipped. See, these little issues that people don't know about, when you understand them, so what I'd shine a light on, this complicated word, consciousness, it sounds really airy-fairy, but really it's awareness. It's about this ability to look at the world with a broader lens, understand the dynamics, you know, the human behavioral aspects, and that's what I specialize in. And when you can just understand it, and you can get, really what I want to do is get people to see that the power of the collective is way more than one. Yeah, so when we... You know, when we're teammates and we have each other's backs, we're not fighting each other. We then can put all our energy into winning the game. So that's just one aspect of what I do. So I do that with the hockey team and the rugby team, but I also do it in the corporate world. Help people become more aware. It's not just what people say, it's where are they coming from that makes them want to say that. So it's understanding psychology and human behavior and all of that stuff.
I was very interested to listen to one of the top performance coaches talking about, effectively, the Sharks, but generally speaking, rugby sides, right. Professional rugby teams today.
Right.
How much emphasis they place on the non-physical. I'm talking about pretty much what it is that you do because of the value that they leverage through that. And I thought, come now, man.
Yeah.
You just got to teach the guys to run faster, to tackle harder, to kick the ball properly, and your job's done. What's this nonsense about getting them talking about and all the soft, furry, fuzzy? Apparently, it is game-changing.
Well, I think the soft stuff is actually harder. Does that make sense? Like, the soft skills are harder to grasp than the hard skills. I mean, running faster, training harder, that's quite obvious. But there's so much energy that our brain utilizes, and it's also the way we look at the world. Like, if I'm feeling down, I'm unlikely to give you an extra 5% if I have to perform on the day. If I'm feeling down or misunderstood or not feeling part of it, feeling like an outsider. So, you know, it has a massive role to play. And actually, I want to extrapolate that a bit. The massive play in the whole world. Look at the state of the world we're in at the moment. You know, there's a lot of ego stuff going out there. A lot of people coming from a wrong energy, and it causes a lot of damage on the planet. So, you know, also, there's a healing component. I want to be brave enough to say that. You know, there's a healing component in what I do, and I get people to actually get on with one another and see the power of community as well. The power of coming together rather than living in little islands and isolation.
Well, you know, here is the thing. We, as a nation, I think it's fair to say,
yeah.
And it's a broad generalization, but I think it's pretty accurate. Most South Africans across the spectrum get on with each other. I look around and I don't see people wanting to kill each other and hate each other. I just see people getting on, generally speaking. Listening to the politicians,
never trust a politician.
Why are we generally the greater numbers of the populace that even pays for these people to exist on that level, on that platform? Why then do we allow ourselves to be led by destructive people?
It's a very good question, and it goes back to the ego. You know, it's like where people are coming from. There's so much history. I mean, we could talk all day about just that subject alone. But I want to go back to your earlier point. I think us normal citizens need to stand up more. I think there is an awakening. I don't know anyone who trusts a politician these days. I mean, the system, you know, the elites and everything like that. There's so much going on in the world. Yeah. The Epstein files and unnecessary wars and all of these kind of things.
But you see, now there is the thing. We have the capacity for compassion and love and beauty and art and all sorts of wonderful things. We have technologically the capacity to cure the most horrific conditions, medical conditions now. We've got AI that is doing phenomenal stuff when it comes to automotive transportation, etc., etc. We live better than we've ever lived in the history of the planet in terms of comfort and luxury. Right. We've never been more dissatisfied.
Right.
You know, and you get a guy like Donald Trump who appeals to the worst part of every... Because we've all got bad parts, you know?
Of course.
We don't like those guys, or we don't...
And, it's called the shadow in psychology.
Well, there it is.
Like bits that you hide in the shadows, right? We've all got it.
And a guy like that says on the platform stuff that talks to that part of the good person that they resonate with. And say, we've got to get rid of those. We've got to get rid of those. Illegal immigrants coming over the wall. We've got to get rid of them. I'll vote for this guy because he's going to do good. And I mean, look at the state of America and the world as a result.
Well, psychology 101, if you just watch Donald Trump closely, you'll see that he's an absolute narcissist. Yeah. I think what people like about him is that at least he does stuff, right? Because so many politicians just talk and no action. But his action is driven by... this notion that he is a superior being and he's all-knowing and he's nothing wrong with him and he's the best human that ever walked the earth. Like, come on, that's a problem, right?
But, you know, I've had this conversation in this very studio with a dear friend who is incredibly intelligent and he loves what Trump is achieving. Yeah. He reckons he's changing the world order for
the
better.
Well, he's a disruptor, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I think he's causing these kind of conversations for us to look at the world and go... Crap. Am I allowed to say that on radio?
Of course you can. Yeah. Isn't it interesting that I have not yet met one person that says they actually like the guy? You know, I like that. No, we don't like what he says, the way he goes, though, but I like what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, how crazy is that?
Yeah, it is absolute crazy. It is. I think it's just that, he tends to follow through. And you more likely to trust a guy that follows through, etc.
Even if it's setting the world on fire.
Even if it's a dangerous following through, you know. But I think that'll all change in time. I think there's an awakening happening in society.
I like that. We'll pursue that in greater depth on the flip side of your first musical choice for today. A Sam Fender, People Watching.
That's what I love to do.
Ah.
And if you ever watch that video, what an amazing video. It's like I sit here in Belita lifestyle sometimes on my laptop, and then sometimes I close my laptop and just watch and just check people, and you imagine the different stories and the different things and the different experiences that are there.
Do you like people?
Absolutely, fundamentally, yes, Dave. Believe it or not, and there are plenty of arseholes out there. Oops, that's the second bad word I've used. You're going to strike me from this. Yeah, of course there are those, but I absolutely love people. Like they're complex, strange, unique, flavoursome, and especially in South Africa. But just before you play the song, sorry, I've got to say this about South Africans because I lived in the UK for 18 years.
Yeah.
You are so right. absolutely adore the friendship level that South Africans have, which I think is the best in the world. The friendship, the ability to be a good friend and tolerate each other's quirks and differences is amazing. And this is, I'm coming from someone who lived 18 years in not that, in a very superficial, got to be, you know, say the right thing, do the right thing, act politically correct and all of that nonsense. So South Africans, stand up. We're cool.
That's Sam Fender, a tune called People Watching, the first musical choice of my guest, Mark Fraser Grant, who's in the house, talking about leadership, coaching and executive facilitating and transforming the world one mind at a time. Yours, hopefully, among them.
I like that. Yeah.
And we were talking off air about how you got into this business, and it turns out that you had quite an interesting, I'll put that in inverted commas, childhood.
Absolutely. It's not a childhood I would wish on anyone else, but at the same time, I don't regret having had that childhood, if that makes sense. So, you know, exposed to some of the darker aspects of humanity. You know, actually, my father, a Hungarian immigrant, impregnated my mother in Durban. The rumor goes that it was on North Beach that I was conceived. So I've got some real roots here. But I popped out in Benoni because my Hungarian father abandoned my mother, disappeared, did a gypsy thing that, you know, gypsies do. And so I popped out in Benoni, then came straight back to KZN after that. And she was a bit traumatized. So she went back to Zimbabwe, where she's from, Rhodesia, as it was then known, and then made a second bad choice. My stepfather, who was a British guy, orphaned, sent his parents killed in the World War, sent to Rhodesia. They were sent to New Zealand, Australia, Rhodesia back then, all these orphans. So obviously he experienced abuse in the orphanage. So his parenting was basically to, yeah, smack you around. It was a very violent household. And he was also in the army, and he got blown up in a landmine and actually went a bit psychologically insane, and took us to the UK, and we lived under poverty, like in poverty, like one step up from street people for a while, because he couldn't hold a job down. And so we were broke ass. So the weird thing is, and then I got bullied by the British kids, South London, working class British kid. I came in, I'm maybe slightly more intelligent, different from another place. So they just smacked me around as well. So I was getting smacked at home and at school. Yet what I noticed that my spirit never dimmed. And I didn't know why, I don't know how. Yeah, for people of faith, maybe I believe in the spirit, maybe there's some angels looking out for me or something like that. Can I prove it? Absolutely not. But do I believe it? Yes. And I think that got me interested in, why do men do these things? You know, why do men do shocking things? And that's what led me on this journey to understand people, to understand behavior. And so it was a natural consequence of a very traumatizing childhood that I
used. It's interesting because most people that have had that kind of background have become pretty much a carbon copy of their creators.
Yep, absolutely.
If you did, you took the opposite route.
Yeah, if you do a psychological profile on anyone who's been through what I've been through, they're either a drug addict, an abuser, or dead. That I do have that profile. And to be honest with you, I have violence in my system. Right. But what the one thing that I, such a good thing that I did back then is I felt that rage, that absolute rage. It was dangerous. And I was starting to get into fights myself wherever I went. I didn't realize that when you have rage inside of you, you can spark other people. Your energy can spark other people, like in a pub. You walk in the pub and suddenly there's a fight happening. You know, it was really weird. So I wanted to understand that as well. And I took up martial arts. And I had the most spiritually orientated sensei, and he taught me meditation, and he put me on a more spiritual path. And actually, I was really good at martial arts. So I got up to a very high standard, and won a European championship in my weight category, a long time ago, in the early 90s. And I was able to then channel that rage into something that has rules. And I realized the power of that discipline, rules, structure, so that you can still feel that stuff, but you can use it constructively, not destructively. And so it's the same energy, though. It's like nuclear energy. You can use it to blow up the world, or you can use it for electricity. So when you understand certain things like that, you can change your life. So all the worst things that happen to people are actually can be material for your growth, your expansion.
And you've been able to capitalize on your learning and your experiences to then create a business model that gives you a livelihood and at the same time making a difference, hopefully a positive one.
Exactly.
Now, we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back after your second song choice, which is a tune called The Subway.
Yes.
Why did you choose Chapel Roan?
Very interesting. I'm quite a fan of Elton John, actually. And Elton John and Chapel Roan are like very good mates. And this particular song, I could hear the quality of it. In the modern music, I'm not a big fan of much modern music, but this song stood out for me. It had certain quality. I even can relate it to like a Beatles song, Hey Jude. Just at the end, just the way the melody carries on, she really gets into it. So it caught my attention. And also my daughter loves it. And I love my daughter, so.
And what is her name?
Jamie.
Jamie, this is for you. Chapel Roan, The Subway, 20 minutes to 11 o'clock on The Dave Charles Show on Radio Life and Style, 88 FM. From Bolito, and I'm in with my special guest, Mark Fraser Grant. He is he's a leadership coach, effectively, and he changes people, hopefully for the better. Have you ever changed anyone for the worse?
Oh, maybe a couple of ex-girlfriends.
Yeah, you see.
Okay, like, I'm human. Yeah.
You know, I asked that question because I know of many folk that have gone through so-called life coaching. Here's the way it goes.
Yeah.
You know, you're not doing what you really are going to, you know, you're not fulfilling your life passion.
Yeah.
You don't really like your job, for example.
Yeah.
You could be doing so much better by doing what your passion tells you to do.
Right.
What do you like? I like ice cream. You should be in the ice cream business. Yeah. Really? Yes, off you go. And do you know how many of those people come short because they listen to gobbledygook?
Yeah.
Not understanding at all that there is consequence, you know, then you've got to put in, you know, there's work and then you get return. Yeah. So you reap, etc. Not to say that you can't develop in a certain, but you can't go, you know, before you can do, before you can have, you've got to do. And before you can do, you've got to become.
Yeah.
And if you haven't had those steps, which is, I'm not saying that all motivational coaching is crazy, but you know what I'm talking about—the life coaches that give you a short, quick course and change your life.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. How about that? So I think there needs to be rigor and proper structure in it. So, for example, I wouldn't tell a client what to do. I would bring out their own insights about themselves. That's what I do. Yeah, and to be honest, to your question, sometimes I don't change people. Yeah, people change themselves. Yeah, you can't change people. Only I can partner with someone and help them see the world from a much more fuller lens and a much more intelligent way of operating in perspective, right? And they can take that on. And from that, their own increase of ability, their own increase in intelligence, their own increase in understanding themselves. Some people don't even know who they are. You ask a person, who are you? And they give you a set of labels.
And that's funny. Yeah. In this forum, I often start with a guest saying, so who are you? For those that don't know you, who are you? And I get this sort of terrified stare across the microphone. Because I've never actually thought about it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm. I've. You know. And the point is.
Yeah.
everyone is a man for all seasons or a woman for all seasons. So depending on the circumstance, I'm that.
We're a movement in time and space. That's what we are, right? Like we're this spirit that came to experience things.
That's very interesting. So you believe that people are spirit.
Absolutely.
Part spirit.
I believe that, we're having a human experience, but we're spiritual beings having a human experience.
It's interesting. So, in your understanding of the quantum, do we have one life or is this part of a cycle?
You know what? I think we're going to only find that out in absolute truth when the moment happens, right? However, I do believe if I'm going to take on a belief system, let me take on a belief system that leaves me feeling happier, joyful.
I like that.
Yeah, so because there's so many belief systems you can take from the world. Which one is true, which one isn't?
If you had to identify any particular trend in terms of spiritual truth for you,
right,
what would it be?
I believe that the deepest values inside of ourself, like that resonates and interacts with the world on a quantum level, right? So for example, if I see resilience in you, that means I have it in me, because how would I recognize it in you if I don't have it in myself, right? And I think to that question about who we are, what are my deepest values and am I actually living up to that?
Yeah.
Am I honoring myself? And am I honoring you as well?
But in terms of human nature, what do you think are, in terms of the qualities that we possess, because we have a range of qualities that we can, I suppose, demonstrate or live by. And there are some that are good. You read the biblical fruits of the spirit, for example, and they're all lovely.
Yeah.
And then you have some negative stuff. But sometimes negative stuff can actually lead to positive outcome. I'm not suggesting that it's true, but it would appear to be the case.
Well, I'm just going to put my hand up. I try and not be judgmental, but I do struggle with entitlement and indulgence. And I really have a resistance to the elites, the super rich elite people, because they can do so much good in the world, and yet they're thinking about their second super yacht that they want to buy, that part of human nature and me don't resonate. So I resonate with, I do think that we have to suffer a little bit to discover ourselves, right? We need to, I do comrades. There's a lot of suffering in comrades when you're running up pulley shorts. And why am I doing this? Why am I hurting myself like this? That suffering has a reward, And so some of us who have had to struggle in life, when we do taste the fruits, it tastes so much better. You know what I mean?
I get you entirely.
Yeah.
Do you have you ever come across the Maslow's hierarchy of needs and wants?
Of course.
And
self-actualization at the top.
Well, yeah. I don't think, apart from possibly Jesus, and maybe that level I think most of us get stuck right in the middle.
Yeah.
There's air, water, food, and sleep for life to exist, surely. Yeah. And then shelter, clothing, sex, and security is what we want once we've achieved the need, the base. And then from there, that excitement, love, acceptance, respect, recognition, status.
Yes.
And we keep on bouncing along that level because we never really mostly achieve love in this lifetime. Isn't that sad? Is this something that you work on?
I've done a talk on unconditional love and how difficult it is, because let's be honest, love is completely conditional. There's a set of rules in relationship about only stick by the rules, then I love you. If you break the rule, then I don't love you so much. And I think parents get this wrong as well with their children. They put and what I notice is they're worried about what other people think of them too much, way too much. So when their child misbehaves, they think that's a bad reflection on them, and then they reduce the love to the child. I disagree with that. It should be love first, then discipline.
No.
Unconditional love And that child, and I've really strived to do that for my daughters, because, Dave, I didn't get it, right? I didn't get a hug growing up. So it was really, I know what non-love or to experience deep loneliness looks like. So I really strive to be non-judgmental, but I'm human. And I don't think to this Maslow's hierarchy, self-actualization. I'm not self-actualized. I'm a work in progress. I mean, I make a difference in people's lives, but I'm also messed up in many areas myself still.
Let's get back into the, because we're kind of winding down.
Okay.
Time-wise is always the thing.
Yes.
For anyone listening to this conversation and wondering what you could do, because this is the thing. I'm listening to you saying, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? In my mind. So there are many different me's listening. What can you do for me? In what you do, you know, your job, your work, and how do I reach you so that you can do it for me?
Okay, well, let me quickly answer that. I mean, if you just Google my name, it will bring up my LinkedIn profile and my contact details. You can find quite easily.
That's Mark Fraser Smith. It's a double-barreled hyphenated Fraser Grant. Sorry, Fraser Smith. Mark Fraser Grant.
That's it.
There's so many. There's so many double-barreled names that end with Smith. I kind of just go there straight away. But this is Mark Fraser Grant. Now you know where to look.
Yeah, and what can I do? Well, I haven't found anyone yet that I can't make a little bit of a difference. The level of difference varies from person to person, depending on their receptivity.
So would you work with individuals and corporates?
I do. I work with individuals and teams, in corporates and in sports, and just individuals come to me. So, I've helped people become really, truly successful in their businesses. Mm. I have done that. I've got a track record, a checkable track record. But I personally am not materialistic. So I'm more about helping people actually meet themselves, but the better version of themselves, because a lot of people don't realize that they're in their own way. Most people are their own blockage. That is the truth. So I help them unblock themselves, if that makes sense. So I can very quickly find out what belief system, what aspects of self that they have that are in their own way, and help reduce that so that there's more flow and ease in their life, you know. And that's really what I do.
So ultimately, we find along the path signs and wonders and guides, and some people tend to lead you on a path of, well, just shall we say, not necessarily the best outcomes, and others tend to come along in your life and they are sent, I believe, by the universe to help you get to the next level. And I believe my guest, Mark Fraser Grant, could be your guide to the next level. Maybe you want to explore, because I think we can all be a hell of a lot better, certainly a lot happier, a lot more fulfilled. And this is the journey we're on. There might be another one afterwards. There might be lots more, or there might not be.
I love what
you're
saying.
Either way, we've got an opportunity here and now to explore. And I think that is tremendously exciting.
If I was to say a closing statement, it would be actually, if you want love, give it. Because giving is receiving. Just give love, give attention, pay attention. Actually listen to people, listen to them properly. This is what you do, David. It's your gift. Listen. You know, not listen to respond, listen to receive, to understand, to connect. You know, like soul-to-soul connection, not ego-to-ego connection. Like, I have no interest in what your bank balance is, like zero. But I want to know who you are. And I think we need more of that, you know. So human connection can heal.
Yeah.
Yeah, isolation can make a person dangerous and violent sometimes. So, and that's where crime also can happen. So, you know, like, there's a good place for making a difference. And I think, to your point about life coaches out there, some of them are too insecure and having an agenda.
I think everyone is trying their best, you know.
Yeah,
we're all just trying. But, but you know, ultimately, when you have an opportunity to go on a journey that promises to give you a positive result at the end of that, I think one should take the first step and make the approach and see. If you're not looking for anything, move on.
Exactly.
But if you are and you're curious, You should look up Mark Fraser Grant, my special guest, which we have spent the past 45 minutes in conversation with. And it's been a pleasure, Mark. Thank you so much for joining me.
I really appreciate you inviting me.
And we will play out with your last choice of music, which is Mumford & Sons' The Banjo Song. Tell me about that.
It's actually a new release. And they've gone back to their roots. I love the bit of the banjo in their roots because they tried to become rock. And then they came back to
Little Lion Man was the...
I love that song. That's my theme song. Okay. You know? Yeah. But this song, it just captivated me. It's got a pretty tune. And I love the video as well. They've got people being free, full of self-expression and just free.
Your thing.
You know, not worry. Yeah, that's my thing, you know. So...
Mumford & Son, The Banjo Song, the third and final choice of my special guest, Mark Fraser Grant. And that conversation will be up as a podcast really shortly, and there'll be some video on social media as well, so you can see what we were discussing and how we look, how gorgeous we are, really. Oh, yes. 2 minutes to 11, and here's Benny Sings.